This episode of the Supply Chain Brain podcast is supported by ODW Logistics, an integrated third-party logistics provider of warehousing, distribution, and transportation services. Be sure and stick around after the discussion for a look at the company and what it offers to customers. But now, on to the podcast. Freight consolidation makes a lot of sense, but how do you make it work? Hi, everybody. I'm Bob Bowman, Editor-in-Chief of Supply Chain Brain, and this is the Supply Chain Brain podcast. The consolidation of freight shipments, whether within containers, trailers, or trucks, promises to yield big cost savings and transportation efficiencies for carriers and shippers alike. But there are some key considerations to keep in mind when adopting that strategy. On this episode, we explore the practice of consolidation, along with the operational and technological prerequisites for making the transition successfully. My guest is Phil Schmidbauer, Vice President of Solution Design with ODW Logistics. He'll tell us about the common challenges and even misconceptions that businesses face when seeking to adopt a freight consolidation model. And we'll look at how state-of-the-art technology tools, including AI, can help with the brutally complex problem of loading and delivering freight to multiple destinations. Here's my conversation with Phil Schmidbauer. Phil Schmidbauer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for being with me today. So we're going to be talking about freight consolidation, but for purposes of the discussion, what do we mean by that, Phil? I mean, consolidation, and what types of modes, what types of situations, what is exactly the basis for our discussion today?
All of them, really. The idea behind the term freight consolidation, sometimes called optimization, is just being the most efficient you can when you're purchasing and procuring transportation. Mm-hmm. So if you have a container and you're only shipping it half full, I don't care how cheap your rate is, it's still 50% underutilized. So the goal really is, how do you maximize your transportation spend and use it most efficiently?
So it could be an international container. It can be a domestic trailer. It can be trucking. It could be intermodal. I mean, it all falls under this definition?
Absolutely. It could even mean that you're shipping something via air and shifting modes to something that's almost as efficient, gets the job done to meet certain requirements that you have, maximizes your transportation spend. So yeah, I use it broadly when we talk about freight consolidation and or optimization.
Okay. Well, to follow up on what you just said, tell me more about why freight consolidation. What are its benefits?
There's a lot of things to consider when you're looking at transportation. The first thing I look at is, are you set up strategically from a geographic location? Are you distributing from the right locations and or bringing in product from the right location? So geographic footprint, especially in the United States, because of how large of a geographic footprint we have, is critical to somebody's business. Mm-hmm. Logistics costs and transportation in particular are usually one of the largest costs in a P&L or that people realize on their P&L when it comes to products and services. So to me, if it's one of your largest costs and you're looking at the Pareto effect, you really want to make sure that you're understanding and using that cost most efficiently. It's just financial obligation to your business 101, in my opinion.
Well, interesting. Kind of a chicken and egg sort of thing here. Are you saying that what you do is you look around at your network and you say, ah, this is perfect opportunity for freight consolidation? Or do you sometimes actually design your network to make freight consolidation a possibility?
Correct. To me, the first one is always designing your network most intelligently to make freight optimization most effective. One of those things can be node selections. How many different nodes do you warehouse inventory at if you're in an outbound network? Or inbound could be how many different nodes or locations you bring in inventory from. But when you hold the same inventory at multiple locations, complexities increase overall. Waste will increase, Inventory carrying costs will increase. Everything gets more complex and therefore drives cost into your business. Sometimes it's necessary for lead time. Sometimes it's necessary because you need to be close to your customers and be able to react quickly. There's all kinds of reasons why everybody does certain things in their network. But if you geographically set up your network to achieve your cost and service balance you need for your customers, that will then naturally set you up to achieve consolidation opportunities and/or optimization opportunities of your freight once you're level set. One quick example of that is if your customer base is in the East Coast of the United States, you don't want to be distributing from California because you're not close to your customer base. So it's just a matter of understanding where the what I'll call center of gravity is of your network, whether it's an inbound or outbound network.
Seems like the age-old debate between whether you can distribute from centralized or regional distribution centers, or whether you need smaller centers all over the country or in various other places. But that's going to differ for each company according to its own needs, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's an art form. There's no magic formula for it. It's an art form, and trying to help customers through that is always fun. I took college courses a long time ago, and we did that work in a college class. And lo and behold, I actually have a job these days that I do the similar work.
Let's hope it remains a job for human beings going forward, because it's a brutally complex calculation sometimes, I would guess.
Absolutely. And until we start teleporting products across space and time, I don't know that we're going to be out of a job anytime soon.
Okay, so tell me more, Phil, about these key factors you need to evaluate before getting started with consolidation.
I always start with the customer. Your customer is always number one, and the requirements of the customer. So I work backwards from there. Customer, how do you service the customer at the lowest total cost? And when you're looking at factors, it's all about what are the different modes of transportation, the carriers you have in your network, the costs you're charged or you're being charged by those carriers. So again, if you take a customer service approach and work your way backwards, find the most optimal cost service opportunities you can in that network, that's really what it boils down to.
LTL, less than truckload, exists for the very purpose of serving shippers who don't fill a trailer. And it's you share that trailer with other shippers. That's a solution. That's a type of consolidation, but it's not all your stuff. You're arguing, it sounds to me, in favor of a consolidation approach that involves all your stuff filling up a box or a trailer, are you not?
It could be. It could also be a trailer that you design and you have one stop on it that's going to stop at, call it a Walmart or a Target. And on the back end of the trailer, you have LTL freight that you're going to drop off at a regional player, a regional provider that doesn't pick up at your origin service center, wherever you're shipping from. So there's ways to leverage LTL that an LTL carriers in certain pockets or certain regions, we call that pool deliveries. So there's different, very creative ways to optimize a network. A lot of it is multi-stop truckload. A lot of it is having half of the trailer with a stop on it, and the rest of it is LTL going to a regional player that might be a California-only shipper that can give you really low rates because they're really good in that region. So there's a lot of different creative ways. You can do zone skipping with parcel, all kinds of creative ways to optimize and consolidate your freight throughout the United States and even in other countries.
Well, another form of consolidation is to engage in transloading, where you bring in, say, a 40-foot container into a port, and you put that stuff into a 60-footer, consolidate and fill it up with a lot of other stuff. I mean, that is also a workable strategy, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely a workable strategy. You can bring in LC, less than container load shipments from overseas, and you could consolidate those onto truckloads to different parts of the United States as well. There's lots of different ways to think about it.
Okay, well, it sounds great in theory, let's say, but what about in practice? What are some specific operational or technological prerequisites to make this transition to freight consolidation successful?
Everything we do today, Robert, is around technology. So I think the key is having good technology. I'm not an advocate of technology replacing what people do. I like technology that enhances what people do, and the tribal knowledge and the things that we know are going to be successful. I had an old friend that used to say, you can over-engineer any process you desire. And he was right. You can come up with ideas on designing. I've designed routes before the drivers looked at me and shook their head and said, there's no way that a truck driver is going to be able to execute this route within the window times you just gave me. So to me, it's about having a realistic approach to what you're doing and setting up a process or a route or a design that can be successful in the real world that we live in. So technology is absolutely number one. You have to have good people that are helping you run the optimization or understand, is this something that we can execute? So people don't disappear yet. People might argue there's some AI technologies out there that might get rid of human optimization, but I think a lot of it comes down to people and technology driving the right solution that can be executable and then monitoring that solution to make sure it's successful, measuring it and improving on it.
Okay, let's say you've got that technology in hand, but you've got to work with carriers in order to make this happen, assuming that you don't have your own private fleet. And let's assume that for a moment for purposes of this argument. How do you work with a carrier to make sure that they're going to provide you with the type of consolidation service that you need? What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. And I think it's about having the right carrier partners. But in general, if you're using a truckload carrier, they may not even realize that you have different products on there or different stops, right? They're going to take a bill of lading and I've got two stops and they go make those two stops. Or You work with an LTL carrier to do pool deliveries. We're sending them the paperwork and communicating ahead. Hey, we're going to drop these six shipments off to you and bring them to your dock. The key in scenarios like that is working with carriers that know what you're doing, that you've communicated what the process is. You make sure you have all of the requirements they're going to need to execute their job. It's like anything we do, Robert, and all of the relationships. It's communicating effectively, having a good process, and just being good partners with the people that you're working with.
I imagine it's not as simple as just taking a bunch of your stuff and throwing it all into a trailer or a container to fill it up. Often, I would imagine there has to be a strategic load plan based on what you want to come off first or the order in which you're dropping off or picking up. Who develops that? How do you work with carriers on that? What are the challenges of making that work?
There's a couple scenarios where you could be, if you're doing the work of loading the trailer, it's a matter of communicating to those loaders. Here's the order of the trailer that needs to be loaded, that we need the trailer loaded. Certainly that gets screwed up at times where it's loaded in the wrong order. That's going to happen. So it's communicating with the people loading the truck that they loaded in the appropriate manner. You're absolutely right. When you get to a stop, just say, I'm going to stop at Target. They will not unload Walmart's freight if I stop at Target. They won't touch it. Right. So Absolutely. I've seen people have to take freight to locations to have it transloaded and mixed in the right order so that it can be taken off by the customer. So again, it comes back to communication, building a process that everyone along the way knows their role in the job and that things are done in the right manner. So it starts at the loading, even unloading, making sure that people are only taking off their freight. So it can come down to, I've seen people put pallets before, like a sign on the back pallet saying this freight belongs to whomever, so that somebody doesn't take off too much freight off the trailer. So there's both the issue of putting the freight in the right order and making sure it's taken off in the right order by the right people.
What do you have to do to coordinate with the warehouse? I mean, this is not just a transportation problem. It's also a warehouse situation that they have to be prepared to fit into the whole consolidation plan. What has to happen in that getting those two things to play nice together?
You're absolutely right. Process. Good process, paperwork that we have load plans that print out of the system that people know, and it gives them a graphic representation. People like pictures, whether it be a map when we're driving. There's lots of things. People are visual creatures, right? So we create load plans and technology that can show a graphic of the trailer and what gets loaded in the nose and what gets loaded in the tail. But you're absolutely right, Robert. It's not just the carriers. It's not just the consignees that you're unloading at, or the warehouse that's loading the freight. It's all of them. All of them have to be aware of the plan, understand what the plan looks like, and what their part in the execution of that plan is going to be.
Again, great in theory, great benefits, but what are some of the common challenges or misconceptions that businesses face when they are adopting a freight consolidation model, and how can they overcome those hurdles?
Yeah, I think the measurable results of cost and service are what are critical to customers. You are absolutely correct. There are certainly challenges. I would argue the biggest challenge we face is the error-prone nature of humans. We all make mistakes. We all screw up on a daily basis. So what we try to do every time that I've done a scenario like this, what I always see is, how do you make a process as airtight so that humans can't screw it up? And it comes back to communication, visual management. And absolutely, there are mistakes, and absolutely, people are going to screw things up. It's also not about your plan A. It's, do you have a plan B, C, and D when those things do happen? I used to fear the word failure mode effects analysis back in the day, but it's one of those things that you look at. What are the areas of opportunity for a process to fail? And what's your plan when things do fail? Because they will happen.
But even without failure, even the best run consolidation program involves additional steps Does that not slow things down? Does that create service issues in serving the customer?
Not necessarily. If it's managed well, you can definitely see the same service as you normally would. If you just think about a simple two-stop truckload, it's better than shipping LTL and you're getting it there in truckload transit. So it just depends on how much freight you have to consolidate with. Obviously, if you can convert freight off of LTL, where it's sometimes damage prone, and onto a truckload where it's not going through multiple touches and terminals, there's definitely a better service component to that type of freight. Mm-hmm. So that's something that people oftentimes value if they have freight that's delicate. But generally speaking, it's about mode conversion to a more service-oriented mode at a faster pace and at same or better cost.
But you certainly don't want packages and pallets sitting around on a warehouse dock waiting to amass enough freight to fill a trailer, because there's a time lag there. So you got to deal with that as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Another critical part, when you're talking about a shipper, it could be a warehouse. It could also be a manufacturing facility. So planning is critical in all of this. If you can actually work with a manufacturing facility and understand their manufacturing plan, or even maybe their manufacturing plan has flexibility to where you can show them what would be most efficient from a transportation perspective, and that's how they either package or that's how they produce their product so that it matches up to a transportation plan. I've also seen customers in the past or places that maybe it's a manufacturer and you look at them and say, okay, why don't you ship all of your West Coast freight on Wednesday and Thursday of the week? All of our East Coast freight can ship on certain days of the week. So you set up a plan for manufacturing and distribution based on day of the week, which can help you optimize your ability to build better loads out of the freight. So there's a lot of different things, even going back into the manufacturing plant or warehouse, that you can align the way work is done to be more efficient.
Yeah, not only goes all the way up into the warehouse, it continues to the manufacturing plant. That's really interesting, that total integration to make it work. So Phil, how do you see freight consolidation evolving in the next 5 to 10 years, especially with, we've talked already about some advances in technology, shifting consumer expectations? Where is it going?
It's a great question. And I think that AI has to play a part in it at some point. I don't see a lot of discussion around optimization engines as much as I do seeing people looking at AI for how do we buy better. And I actually try to push the narrative sometimes that let's stop worrying about whether we're buying a lane at $1 a mile or $1.05 a mile. Let's start worrying about how efficient the truck is that we're buying and how utilized that truck is. I think that there's definitely room for optimization, route level optimization. You will see some of it happening out there. There's a lot of technologies that have an optimization engine in it. None of them are perfect. And I think that you're starting to see a lot of consolidation happening in the retail world. Certainly Walmart has figured it out on the inbound side, and I think others are starting to follow suit. So I think a lot of people are working on the business process the best they can. I think technology is definitely going to play a role as you look into the future.
I would have thought that AI would be perfect for route optimization. You've heard talk, I'm sure, about the famous salesman problem, about trying to figure out the optimal route for a salesman going with all these multiple stops. Isn't that just perfect for the algorithms and the brutally complex kind of processing of data that AI is known for?
Yeah. And I think that's where you'll see them play. If you think about like Amazon, they probably have a lot of route optimization software for their drivers. There's certainly some of that that's out there. When I think about optimizing loads and building loads, there are technologies out there that have optimization engines in them. I don't know that there's an AI complement to them that is really helping them learn from what's working and what's not, as much as I think there's opportunity for that in the future.
Phil, we've been talking about freight consolidation. How does ODW Logistics fit into the picture, and how does it differentiate itself in the freight consolidation space?
Absolutely, Robert. Our focus is, as we talked about earlier, first the network analysis to make sure that your distribution footprint is set up right. We have a retail freight consolidation that we run out of our Columbus campus or a number of our Columbus facilities, that we do a lot of retail and non-retail consolidation where we're aligning due dates and orders and the way that orders are shipped to certain retailers across our customer base to help optimize loads into those customers. So whether it's Walmart, Target, CVS, Walgreens, HEB, Kroger, you name the retailer, and we're shipping consolidated loads inbound. The other thing that I don't like to ignore is our ability to optimize even when it's not from our campus. So we work with customers that ship out of their manufacturing facilities to help optimize their freight outbound on their own trucks. with their own freight. That is key to helping them drive down that transportation cost and improve service to customers. So it could be through a retail freight consolidation where we're sharing trucks across customers. But the one thing that we do focus on is how do we make sure that that truck is fully utilized when we send it out, and or that we're using the right mode, the right carriers, all of that. That's the work that we really focus on driving for our customers to help drive that value to their supply chain bottom line.
It sounds like consolidation by its very nature is just perfectly falls into the category of what a logistics provider like ODW can do.
Absolutely. Yeah, our end goal is really to deliver the lowest cost at the highest quality and the shortest lead time for our customers and their supply chain.
Bill Schmidbauer of ODW Logistics, thanks for this little lesson on the future, the benefits, the strategies, and insights into freight consolidation, and telling me a little bit about ODW Logistics as well. Thanks very much for being with me today.
Robert, thanks for your time.
That was my conversation with Phil Schmidbauer of ODW Logistics, talking about how to realize the benefits of freight consolidation. We thank ODW Logistics for sponsoring this episode. We're online at www.supplychainbrain.com, where we post a new episode of this podcast for streaming or downloading every Friday. You can also read our Think Tank blog, watch thousands of videos, and access all of our other content, including the digital edition of our magazine. Look for us on Facebook and LinkedIn, follow us on X at SCBrain, and also watch videos on our YouTube channel. You can also download or subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and also listen to us on Spotify. If you've got any comments or suggestions on this or any episode, email me at rbowman@supplychainbrain.com. Stay well, and see you next time.